Wolfdreamer resettled his legs, easing the cramp. His mind continued to replay the scenes of joy and release as he'd led the people from the cleft in the ice. So much joy after so much suffering. A spiral, a circle within a circle, having no distinction between the levels. All things came around, changing, moving down the spiral of life. Despair's time had passed for this cycle. Only challenge remained until the next curve of the spiral. He stood, plucking his hide from the ground, a lingering remorse over the loss of Heron's shelter nibbling at his peace. Ah, for the darkness, the faint, moist odor of the purifying steam. He looked around, seeing Broken Branch dropping boiling stones into a buffalo gut bag. Steam. Wolfdreamer considered, hearing the commotion around the camp. The distraction kept him from clearing his mind. They wanted him to dream the animals in tomorrow. Walking to the fire, he bent and picked up a burning chunk of spruce. He couldn't help but feel their eyes on him as he studied the glowing end of the thick branch, bluish smoke twirling in the cold air. He turned, walking up the slope toward the trees, blowing on the branch to keep it burning. In the trees, he snapped more dead branches from the snags and threw them into the fire over his glowing embers. As they crackled to life, he kicked some of the hand-sized cobbles, like Broken Branch's boiling stones, from the snow and piled them in the fire, letting them heat. He could feel them. On all sides, faces peeked from around rocks, from overdrifts, through the trees, as the people came to peer at him. Distraction. Dreaming was becoming impossible.
You told me, Heron. But I didn't believe it could ever be so difficult.
He walked along, scooping up snow, cradling it in the hem of the robe he'd taken from Grandfather Whitebear's steaming body that day so long ago on the ice. Hunching over, he rolled the hot rocks from the fire, using them in the same manner as a mother might warm her child's robes. The robe over his head, he reached for the snow pile, sprinkling the white crystals over the rocks. The steam rose, warm, circling about his head. Perhaps it wasn't Heron's shelter, but it cleared his mind, eased his thoughts with that feeling of oneness. Stretching his consciousness, he sensed a dark presence moving somewhere nearby. His heart pounded suddenly. As he'd known for months, the conflict approached, drawing down from the north. He pulled his white bear robe over his head, letting the steam fill the canopy and caress his face. In the moist darkness, painful images swirled. In the eternal blackness of the hole under the ice, Ravenhunter stumbled over a waist-high boulder, banging his head as he fell. Pain blasted up his hurt arm, leaving him nauseated and sick. He lay there, the weight of the white hide pinning him on his injured arm. A new pain stung his head where he'd cracked it on the rock.
Gotta keep going. Power's in the hide. Power's mine. Gotta keep going.
With his good hand, he felt out the position of the boulder, dragging the heavy hide over it, straightening to his feet. He pulled the hide over his shoulders. He rubbed his cheek against the white hide, feeling the power it held, letting it soak into his very skin. Onward he plodded, driven by the future, goaded by the power that would be his when the people saw the white hide. They waited for him and the white hide somewhere ahead, beyond the blackness. The mountains shaded lavender in the silence of dawn, stars twinkling low on the southern horizon. Before them, the big ice loomed, a vast white wall, ghostly in the soft light. Guards hunched over a small fire, clutching their robes as they looked out across the crystalline wastes. Singing Wolf stood apart, a foot propped on one of the boulders that tumbled down the slope around them. He'd been up most of the night thinking, worrying, but it was none of his business. Still, he winced as his gaze drifted to Icefire's shelter. Nestled in the center of the camp, the hide roof glistened with frost. Every night for the past week, Dancing Fox had gone in to share dinner with the most respected elder and not come out until dawn. Her warriors, especially those from Ravenhunter's old band, bristled, grumbling of treason.
No, she's no traitor.
He'd seen the tender looks Fox and Icefire had started to share, the guarded way they touched each other, and he understood their newfound togetherness. The elder reminded them all of Wolf Dreamer. How could Dancing Fox not feel longing for the man? And maybe the fact that Fox and Icefire shared robes would strengthen both peoples. Yes, maybe.
This is crazy.
Singing Wolf turned to see Eagle Cry's fist lifted toward the others' camp.
Tomorrow we take these others into the hole under the ice? I can't believe it.
Crowfoot nodded, his eyes grim.
I can't either. We lead men who raped our women and killed our brothers into the heart of the people's camp? It's madness.
Singing Wolf massaged his forehead and tiredly headed for their fire. They started, surprised, as he appeared out of the darkness.
Don't forget the oaths you swore to uphold the peace.
Crowfoot turned, cat-like, on his heels.
You've always been weak-hearted, Singing Wolf. I remember the day you ran out on Ravenhunter and the rest of us. Oaths didn't matter so much then, eh?
What Ravenhunter did was wrong for the people. Wolf Dreamer is doing right for us.
Right for us? Is it right that I clutch to my bosom the beast who killed my sister?
I know it's hard, but we all have to...
I saw him in Icefire's lodge!
What's more important, your dead sister or the survival of the people?
Crowfoot took a step forward, nose inches from Singing Wolf's, as he stared into his eyes.
How can leading these animals to our women and children save us?
I believe the Dreamer.
You believe?
By sheer force of will, Singing Wolf stifled the rage that exploded in his heart.
I think, boy, that more than you or I know is at stake here. I think this is a matter for dreamers and elders.
And I think we should kill them all!
With the speed of a mouse, he darted away into the darkness. Eagle Cries gave Singing Wolf a surly look.
Ravenhunter would know what to do. He'd never have made a pact with the butchers.
You promised on the spirits of the Long Dark to wait, to see if some way could be found to make peace. Is your word good?
Eagle Cries turned.
Yes, man with no courage. I'll wait. But once we're there, once we're at the camp of the people, my word will be done.
And the rest of your warriors?
They'll keep their word. Unlike you, we place a value on honor. Ravenhunter taught us that.
And what else did he teach you?
Dancing Fox came around the side of the huge dark boulder.
Has Icefire tired of you already? Go back to his...
Answer my question, warrior. Is hatred all that Ravenhunter taught? Did he forget that wisdom and the ability to think are important too? Did he teach you all to disregard the ways of our elders? To forget that the people have struggled for hundreds of long darks to live in peace as Father's Son wished?
Ravenhunter is the son of the Father's Son! He was born to lead us a new way!
Then why didn't you follow him after the dreaming?
Eagle Cries clamped his jaw and crossed his arms brusquely over his chest.
Why didn't you?
That may have been a mistake.
I don't think so.
Look, don't you see? What if there is peace? Huh? What then? How do we keep who we are separate from the others? Does Father Son get replaced by the great mystery? Does dreaming get replaced by their visions in high places?
Isn't that what Ravenhunter wanted? To destroy Wolf Dreamer? Kill him with a dart in the middle of a dreaming during the renewal of all things?
That was wrong. It was a crazy thing done in anger. He'd just seen his friend killed by witchery.
It's witchery now, not dreaming.
I don't know anymore. Maybe it is.
Fine children of Father Son we are. In our camp, the warriors can't wait to drive darts through the others, watch their blood run out and laugh while they die. In Icefire's camp, they can't wait to get their white hide back and drive darts into our bodies. And we'll all die if we don't change.
What do you mean, die?
You've heard the Dreamer. The world's changing. The ice is melting and the seas are rising. Perhaps the Doomcallers are right. Perhaps everyone in the world is crazy.
Perhaps.
Will you keep your oaths until we meet with the people?
we'll keep them. But after that, we're free men.
And what will you do with this freedom?
Maybe no others will make it back to tell their warriors how to find the hole in the ice.
Moonwater stayed with the rest of the White Tusk clan. She still knows where the hole is.
Then she'll have to die too.
And Jumping Hare's child?
It's half other. It doesn't deserve to live.
So is your hero, Raven Hunter. Maybe true strength comes from a mixing of our blood with theirs. Huh?
Dancing Fox turned and strolled away toward the rising sun and Icefire's camp.
What's she talking about? Raven Hunter can't be half other.
Raven Hunter shuddered as the sun hurt his eyes. Cloud Woman parted long enough that a shaft of light practically blinded him. On his shoulder, the white hide beamed, the reflection illuminating the ice that parted to either side as he stumbled out, his back crying as if it had never been straight before. His useless arm dangled, swollen, the fingers puffy, the lines of his hand disappeared in the bloated limb. Owlishly, he looked around, seeing the pockmarks where the feet of the people had passed over the gravels. He nuzzled the white hide with his cheek.
We made it. We're close now.
Snow had blown across the trail, but as Raven Hunter looked around, he could see the route they'd taken, the streak of white, where the way led up through the brush at a bend in the river. Bowed under the weight of his burden, he stumbled off, as Cloud Woman drew herself close about the sky, threatening, ominous in the still air. Their camp nestled at the edge of a grove of towering spruce. Buffalo hide lodges sprouted in a rough semicircle around a central open space where children played and women and men labored at butchering the wealth of animals their dreamer had called. Wolf Dreamer sat on a fallen log, gazing at the carcasses. As they'd died, he'd suffered with them, feeling the stinging darts biting deep. One with them, he'd choked on their blood, shared their terror, as death's fingers stole through their minds and their eyes grew dim. At the same time, he shared the joyous abandon of the people, now wading through dispatched animals. Life for another year. Meat and new clothing would fill the lodges. Yet, beneath the suffering and joy, a deeper reality called to him. But he knew he couldn't let himself drown in that truth, until, like Spider, he'd thrown out the first threads of the crimson web. One Who Cries walked up to stand by Wolf Dreamer.
You know, we've butchered a lot of animals here, but I never noticed before. The lungs. None of them have worms in the lungs. I wonder why.
Wolf Dreamer's eyes drifted to the looming blackness in the north that gained power with every breath he took.
We're not the only life moving south.
You mean the hole will widen and let animals through?
Soon the mammoth and caribou and buffalo will walk down this way of ours. Where they walk, the worms ride.
Is that good?
Wolf Dreamer gave him a wry grin and spread his arms, beginning to dance, spiraling around in a circle on the snow, never stepping on his tracks again.
See me dancing? How many times have I been around?
What? I don't...
Look!
Wolf Dreamer danced back to the beginning before jumping out of the center and lifting his brows questioningly.
Now, tell me which came first. Did I dance from the inside out or the outside in?
Inside out first and then outside in second. Any hunter can tell by the tracks.
What came first, the inside or the outside?
What does that have to do with worms?
Feeling foolish, One Who Cries smiled, nervously trying to decide what he'd done that was funny. Wolf Dreamer settled on a log and patted it to indicate his friend should join him. One Who Cries gave him a speculative look from the corner of his eye as he cautiously sat.
I don't like it when you start talking in words I don't understand. You're always drifting off, leaving us alone without your guidance.
I know. In answer to your question, the worms will come south too. They, like us, live off the animals. Many of the creatures that live south of us will die off, partly because the world is changing, partly because of us and the worms. Change is the breath of the One. a step in the dance. You have to see the dancer. But the dancer is never there.
One Who Cries bit off what he was about to say concerning the worms, a look of mystification spreading over his flat features.
Here is a good man. Though One Who Cries doesn't know it, he dances closer to the one than all the others. He is pure, unimpressed by his growing stature. I will miss this man more than any of the rest, and the end is coming so soon now. So very, very soon.
I never know what you mean anymore.
Another follows me who will explain.
Who? Can we?
The sensation burst upon Wolfdreamer, leaving his senses reeling. He would have fallen from the log, but for One Who Cries catching him, supporting his weight, while the world shimmered around him.
I have to go.
Wolfdreamer pushed to his feet. He felt the red tendrils wrapping around him, the strands pulling tight.
The web is almost complete. The spiral of the spider is coming together.
Go where? Can I come and...
No! I have to prepare myself to ready the dream.
Wolfdreamer caught his balance, turning his steps upward toward a high spruce-covered ridge that overlooked the camp. His feet had never seemed lighter, nor his heart heavier. Darkness swelled around the people and the others as they made their way through the hole under the ice. Icefire braced his back against the gritty ice wall, feeling along the rough surface with his hands as he cautiously placed each foot. Dancing Fox walked gracefully in front of him, silhouetted by the fat-fed lamp Moonwater had told him how to find. Such a little light, such a terrifying place. Yet Dancing Fox had passed through here in the darkness while water ran. His respect and admiration grew.
I'm more awed by Wolfdreamer every day. How could anyone trust themselves to this?
And I've been through it twice before. It never gets any easier.
Red Flint slipped and hit the ice and rocks hard. Singing Wolf knelt at his side.
What is it?
My foot.
Here, I found you. Take my hand. I'm bending down to feel your ankle. Can you guide my hand?
Dancing Fox turned, starting back with the lamp. Icefire followed. In the dim light, they saw Singing Wolf bending over the singer, running quick fingers down the elder's leg.
I can feel it through your long boot. Something's broken.
Not in here.
We'll get you through.
Singing Wolf unslung his pack and laid out a long rawhide thong and two sticks.
Let me splint that. We can bear you on our shoulders.
Broken Shaft stepped forward, eyes on Singing Wolf.
Wait. He's our singer. We'll carry him.
We'll take turns carrying him and anyone else who hurts themselves. Or have you forgotten where we are?
Icefire looked around, meeting worried eyes and the faint light cast by the lamp.
We'll all take turns.
Everyone, people and other alike, nodded. The subject closed, she bent down so Singing Wolf could see better as he bound Willow artfully around Red Flint's leg. Fires sparkled like amber jewels strewn across the camp. People stood silhouetted before the flames, roasting meat, fiddling with boiling bags. In the light of the fires, prosperous new shelters of freshly scraped hide rose. The odors of cooking meat, roasting liver, and fat filled the air, along with the pungency of a strange smoke. The stars glittered, the mists banished for this evening of celebration. Raven Hunter's heart swelled in elation and relief as a pack of dogs suddenly raced out into the growing darkness toward him. Raven Hunter kicked weakly at the darting beasts.
Get away, you filthy!
Who comes?
Raven Hunter!
You're hurt. Let me help you. Is that someone wounded over your shoulder? A body? What?
Get away! Don't touch the white hide!
The man warily backed away in the dark. Ravenhunter's eyes gleamed as he stepped into the light of the biggest fire, easing the white hide down on green water's unoccupied robe. The people gaped, eyes wide as if one of the monster children had stepped magically from the sky and into their midst. Ravenhunter peered around. He turned on his heels, pinning the eyes of the people, delighted by the awe in their eyes.
I am back, my people. I have returned with a new way. A way you'll all follow. Now, none may question me. None may challenge my leadership.
Look at him. He's different. Changed.
Look at the light in his eyes, like a dreamer. He's seen something.
Buffalo Back appeared from out of the dark, head tilted. Firelight flickered across his wrinkled face.
Raven Hunter,
I have returned! Look at me!
They came from all around the camp, approaching the fire, their faces full of shock and questions.
See me? Look at a hero! I, Raven Hunter, the first warrior of the people, went to kill the other shaman, Icefire. I, Raven Hunter, first warrior of the people, stole the white hide instead. What is the life of a worthless dreamer when the heart and soul of a people can be looted away?
You did what? The white hide? The white mammoth hide? The one, the power?
Buffalo Back stared, unable to finish, and backed away a step.
I took it! I robbed them of their spirit, of their courage and will. Do you think they can stand against us now? Do you think the silly tricks of my witch brother can lead you? Here, look at me and see a man of true power. My father, father's son, is more powerful than their great mystery. Now their greatest totem has fallen to us. To me!
Buffalo Back advanced, chin thrust out, hands imploring.
But they'll come after it! You can't take such a powerful...
As the old man dropped, falling to his side, Ravenhunter centered himself, dropping his knee across the old man's throat. The people stared, mouths open in shock. Then they rushed forward.
Stop!
Ravenhunter slashed out with his good hand as he jumped backward to grip the white hide. He felt the power, using it to push them back.
Yes, you feel it, don't you? The white hide serves me. I am the power of the people. As this hide kept the others, made them strong, so shall it now keep the people.
Broken Branch hobbled her way through the assembly, elbowing people to get them to move. She stopped, then stared down at Buffalo Back. When she looked up, her eyes glittered.
So, you got Buffalo Back this time? Who's left? 4 teeth and me? Then you don't have any elders to stand before you.
I have the power, old woman. See the white hide? It's mine! The gift of father's son to me, his child. You know the story, don't you, old woman? The story of my mother taken by father's son as she walked by the salt water?
Yes, but it wasn't!
And 2 sons were born, taking my mother's life in the birth. A woman can't bear father's son's children and live. The power is too great. That's why I've always seen. I'm his new way for the people. Look, old hag, see the white hide? We're here, south of the ice, and father's son has given me the strength to carry the white hide away from the others. Father's son has tried me, molded me through hardship and suffering. He's shown me fear and cold and hunger and pain, and now he's shown me the way to lead the people!
You killed Buffalo Back! You've broken the people's peace! Last time, Wolf Dreamer kept us from casting you out, but this... this is too much!
You'd try me, woman? 1 step closer and I'll kill you. That's the power of the white hide. Unless you can feel the power, you can't understand what it gives me.
He reached, energized by the touch of the hide, grabbing up her skinny arm. He closed his thick fingers around her wrist. He released her, letting her collapse in a heap at his feet. The cold power radiated through him as his hot gaze cataloged their horrified faces. None could meet his eyes. They backed away, swallowing, shaking their heads. Ravenhunter seated himself by the fire, careful of his swollen arm.
Is this how you treat the bearer of the white hide? Is this a hero's welcome? Bring me food! Hot roasted liver, thick steaks rich in fat. Now! Or the old woman dies.
Green Water separated herself from the crowd, ignoring Ravenhunter's attention, as she gently bent over Broken Branch, attempting to lift her.
I didn't say she could leave.
I didn't ask you.
He moved quickly, tumbling Green Water aside with his foot. Green Water's eyes sparkled like flint off granite as she stood, jaw muscles jumping with anger.
I've never noticed how attractive she is. Perhaps she can warm the white hide for me until Dancing Fox arrives.
He reached down, dragging Broken Branch closer. The old woman huddled over her broken arm. His eyes didn't leave Green Water's.
Sit.
He pointed to the ground before him. She started to shake her head as he reached down, gripping the back of the old woman's neck. Green Water froze as Broken Branch stiffened.
Sit!
Don't do it! Your head's blown up like a walrus bladder! What makes you think we'll obey your foolishness?
Ravenhunter leaned down to glare into her withered face.
You won't have a choice.
He stroked the hide. Then he turned back to Green Water.
I said, sit.
Eyes locked with his, Green Water lowered herself, lips twitching, missing no detail of his actions. Two girls, almost to womanhood, set a hide boiling bag full of meat before him, then darted nervously into the night. After taking note of the silent people, Ravenhunter lifted dripping meat with his fingers, eating heartily but slowly, knowing the risks of overeating on an empty stomach. He looked up, saliva filling his mouth with the blissful taste of fresh meat. Strength, drawn for so long from the white hide, was replaced in his stomach.
Where's my brother?
Jumping Hare's tight expression barely changed as he stepped forward.
He's out there, in the dark. One who cries want to get him.
Out in the dark? My idiot brother's out in the dark when his better comes to lead the tribe into a new land. Oh, that's rich, isn't it? That's the man you trusted yourselves to?
Some of the young men began looking back and forth. The demonstration of power over Buffalo Back, Broken Branch, and Green Water had shown the White Hide's gift. Ravenhunter nodded, catching their eyes.
Yes, my friends, think of it. You turned your backs on me at Heron's. You thought you'd seen a far greater strength than mine, huh?
They lowered their eyes, heads bowing to the validity of his words.
But who comes in out of the night? The white hide of the others over his shoulder. And where is Runzenlight? Oh, excuse me. Wolf Dreamer. What? No answer. It wouldn't be because he's out in the dark, having false dreams.
They all shifted as Ravenhunter continued to eat. Green Water's glittering eyes never left him. He'd find a lot of satisfaction in driving himself between her legs. He'd have to kill one who cries. Or perhaps the coward wouldn't challenge his authority.
A new land, a new leadership. You see, from now on, the strong will dictate where the bands move. We've made a mistake all these years, listening to the likes of Buffalo Back. As a result of their decisions, we're wasted, ground away by war and disease. That won't happen again, I promise. I'll rebuild the people, make them strong so that no others anywhere will ever wear us away again. Like the wolves, our strongest will lead.
He looked up and saw that a gleam had settled in the young men's eyes. Ravenhunter smiled.
Do you like that? Would you be wolves? Or like the muskox, slow and stupid? Yes, you remember the honor I led you to. You remember the strength that was ours before Wolf Dreamer tricked us. What does one do with a witch?
You know nothing of power, young idiot!
Broken Branch glared from where she hunched before him. She started to scuttle away. But he hooked a toe under her arm and hauled her back, chewing thoughtfully as he looked down into her hate-filled eyes. Green water started to her feet as he kicked the old woman to the ground and settled his worn-out long boots over her neck. Green water froze, fear of him bright in her eyes. The corners of her wide lips trembled.
A worthless woman, you know. She's borne all the children she'll ever bear for the people. Should have killed her clear back at Mammoth Camp. Remember the discussion we had about how a woman was only good to grow a man's seed? Now she eats our food, drinks our tea. Without her, there's more for everyone.
No!
Laughing Sunshine and Curlew rushed forward, stopping as Green Water thrust her hand out.
That's right. Anyone who challenges faces not only me, but the White Hide. You rush forward, the old hag dies. You kill me, the power of the White Hide is unleashed against the people. I'm the future. I'm the destiny. Bring me new long boots, a new parka. This is winter. A leader of the people shouldn't be dressed in rags.
What of your wounded arm?
A man of power needs no arm.
You're sick. Twisted. Filled by some wretched ghost.
I'd expect a statement like that from someone who doesn't understand. Doesn't see with the clarity I do. It's in the hide. My visions have been true all along. And beginning tonight, Greenwater, I shall plant my seed among the people.
You wouldn't.
He pressed down slightly on Broken Branch's neck, while the people shuffled nervously, the young men's eyes veiled.
Greenwater!
In the background, Raven Hunter saw One Who Cries start forward, hearing the last. Hard hands grabbed him back, people whispering tersely in his ear.
People have certain responsibilities to those with power. I was born of Father's Son's seed. I am the gift of Father's Son, the way to the new life. What woman is...
Me!
Broken Branch struggled under his foot. Raven Hunter looked down and smiled at her.
The old way must go. As I speak, I'll crush the life out of your thin neck, old hag. The power of the White Hide
is nothing in your hands.
People turned, squinting into the blackness of the forest. Raven Hunter balanced his foot on Broken Branch's constricted throat. They walked in from the side, 10 people. Eagle Cries, Dancing Fox, Crowfoot, and Ice Fire? Red Flint? Raven Hunter's eyes narrowed, confused.
No closer! The White Hide's mine! The power's mine!
Ice Fire walked carefully forward, calmly parting away through the people. Behind, the others advanced. Red Flint supported between Singing Wolf and Broken Shaft. Raven Hunter hunched, grabbing up a corner of the White Hide, kicking Broken Branch ahead of him.
Stop, Ice Fire! Another step and I throw the White Hide into the fire.
He balanced there, Ice Fire halting in his very tracks, a wary look on his handsome face.
You don't know what that would do.
Destroy the heart of the Mammoth people. I'd roast your soul.
The other warriors tensed, eyes darting back and forth, fear replacing the haughty distrust in their eyes.
And you'd bring the combined clans of the Mammoth people down on you. The runners are already on the way. So far, only the White Tusk clan has fought with you. But behind us comes the Buffalo clan. Behind them, the Roundhoof clan. And last, but most deadly, comes the Tiger Belly clan. The White Hide is very important to us. The man who destroyed it would never be safe. We'd hunt him to the ends of the world.
But you said...
Icefire smiled wistfully.
I lied.
Raven Hunter's cheek began to twitch.
Lie? But I fooled you! I was worthy of the hide! I carried it here by myself! Up over the rocks through the ice!
Unminded, Broken Branch scuttled away into the darkness.
And look at you. Wasted, thin. You look like a starving wolf pup.
Dancing Fox nodded soberly.
That's why you didn't follow me that day. It's destroyed you.
It sucked his soul away.
No! I am worthy! It has kept me alive, unharmed!
And the caribou? You turned your back on it. We read the story in the tracks, Raven Hunter. Obsessed with the hide, you'd starve to serve it. Is that how you'd lead the people?
Eagle Cries looked back and forth, alarmed.
What's this about clans? What about more of them coming?
Like a wash of cold water, Raven Hunter understood.
You used me! You knew they'd follow, you knew!
Of course. The clans of the Mammoth people needed a powerful excuse to follow you south through the ice. Only the White Hide would drive them to it.
Raven Hunter stiffened, weaving on his feet. A nauseated cramping gripped his stomach. Eagle Cries and the rest shifted slowly away from the jittery others. Dancing Fox stared about nervously, seeing the lines drawn, aware of the darts being fingered by both sides. Only Icefire seemed calm. He smiled serenely. Eagle Cries clenched his hands.
There is still time. We kill the others. Take the White Hide back through the ice. If we left it there, maybe they'd leave us alone. Maybe.
No! No!
Red Flint ripped loose from Singing Wolf's arms. He crumpled to the ground, reaching for the White Hide.
It's not for enemy hands. It's for the clans. The clans alone. Oh.
I say kill them.
Eagle Cries had backed away, Crowfoot and the rest doing the same. The others dropped into a defensive circle around Icefire, Dancing Fox pointedly outside their ring. She stepped forward, arms uplifted.
Stop this!
Our oath ends here. We brought them safely without raising weapons, but now they're here. My oath is dead.
Stern nods of agreement followed, darts flashing as eager fingers knocked them. Raven Hunter sneered.
Others! Brought to a camp of the people! Kill them!
Arms arched back, ready to cast their darts. The others gripped their weapons for release. Wolf Dreamer stood outside of the sweat lodge he had built for himself, watching as One Who Cries ran to him from out of the dark.
He is here.
He's here. You'd better come quick. Broken Branch sent me for you. She says there's going to be trouble. You've got to come.
Wolf Dreamer cocked his head, seeing the worried patterns of One Who Cries' soul. Yellow, red, and orange, they wove together through the man. The bitter taste of the mushrooms coursed in his veins as he watched in fascination.
It doesn't matter. Raven Hunter's trouble will pass.
Of course it matters! What of pain and hurt now? What of the people suffering? Curse you, Wolf Dreamer, don't you remember? You were one of us! You're our dreamer! You've got responsibility! We need you!
Tell me why you need.
Are you so far from us? We're here because of the dream! For all I know, we are the dream! We—
Yes. Now, you see.
And if that's so, you've got to come dream it all right again.
Illusion has no right.
Look, I can't argue with you. I just want to hunt in peace, huh? That's my dream. You must come drive Raven Hunter.
Then you should dream for yourself. Hunt within the illusion to find...
Hunt within? Great Mammoth! Can't you understand we need your power? Raven Hunter's coming with some sort of power, some White Hide! You have to go and—
It won't matter in the end.
One Who Cries stared at him, a dot of blue growing in his soul. Fascinated, Wolf Dreamer watched the blue expand, seeing One Who Cries' desperation become all-encompassing.
For the spirals, maybe? I don't know!
And he was gone, steps pounding away across the snow.
For the spirals.
Wolf Dreamer saw inside the illusion, feeling Wolf's call.
The spirals of the web, yes.
He walked as if he were a mist. Around him, he could see the colorful souls of the animals, of the trees, each reflecting their own existence in this realm. Time slipped and bent around him, making each step a journey into a different world. Images bled into each other, forms shifting, lines bubbling out of shape. Before him, the people stood like a wall of blue-green color. Fear there, anxiety, anger, it all mixed in splashes of vivid colors like the monster children battling in the sky. He wove around them, his soul touching theirs, feeling the straining anxiety. Two groups separated, the spirit power they'd breathed into their darts clinging to the keen stone points. Their souls twisted in red-orange anger and greenish-violet fear. There stood Ravenhunter, a weird black swirl lit by a red-yellow within, streaked by the spring green of pleasure and ambition. Muscles moved along the warrior's arms, poised to release their darts.
If you cast against each other, you'll break the spiral. We can't do that and survive.
They froze in their places, turning to stare at him. A white shimmering of curiosity softened their images, all uneasy except for anxious Dancing Fox and the man. The man in shimmering white fox hides.
So, we meet, you and I. I offer greetings, Father.
The man nodded, a power within him, his soul tight and controlled, balanced between spirit and body.
Wolf Dreamer.
Kill them! I am the future of the people! Here lies destruction! Death at the hands of the others! I have the power of the White Hide! I am born of Father's Son! Come to lead!
You are born of me.
Wolf Dreamer smiled, cocking his head to watch the whirls of white light dance in his father's chest. Ravenhunter glared at their father.
Why did you lie to me?
To save you. I let the White Hide pass judgment on you. You did what you did to yourself. Your soul is...
Powerful!
Your soul is a darkness, brother. You are not whole. You have no sharing of the soul.
Shut up! What do you know of souls, of dreams? I've seen the future, me and Dancing Fox. My child taking the people south into the...
You've seen no future of yours. You saw only a glimpse of your father's.
Icefire frowned, staring at Wolf Dreamer.
Mine? What?
No, it was mine!
Wolf Dreamer bowed his head and watched the flames dance for what seemed an eternity. His thoughts drifted away, images of Heron's visions floating through his mind. Rising mounds of dirt along a winding, muddy river. Rock-walled shelters rising 5 stories high, the corners of the rooms sharp against the sky. Long shelters built of bark, all centered around tended fields of long-eared grass, its yellow kernels spilling life upon the mats of the people. Far to the south, men built mountains of stone, while Father's Son descended to earth, plumed in feathers and scales.
It can be saved, son.
Yes, Father. That which has been sundered must become one again.
Let me help you.
Icefire strode slowly closer to Wolf Dreamer. In a shimmering fog, the young dreamer saw him stop. Wolf Dreamer gently reached out a hand and touched his father's chest, the place from which the white light flowed. It warmed him, sending tendrils of harmony rushing through him. Before he realized what had happened, Icefire had enfolded him in strong arms and hugged him tightly to his breast.
My son, you've done well for the people.
Wolf Dreamer gazed at Dancing Fox. She stood rigidly, though her eyes lay warm on Icefire. He widened his eyes, seeing the tiny dot of white light growing in her belly.
A son for a son. Now I understand, Heron.
Wolf Dreamer floated in the bliss of oneness with his father, eyes blind to the world of illusion fluttering around him.
So the fawn has lain with the bear. Look, warriors, this will be the death of the people!
A wind of hostility blew through the souls of the warriors. Reluctantly, Wolf Dreamer pushed Icefire away, breaking the embrace, and focused on his brother. Ravenhunter stood tall. His feet straddled the dead body of an old man.
You killed Buffalo Back.
And I'll kill you, as I should have years ago.
As Wolf Dreamer stepped forward, Dancing Fox reached to pull him back.
Don't do this, he's not worth...
He smiled at her, and tenderly reached down to lay his hand on the new life that sparkled in her belly. She started, but didn't pull away.
You hold the strands of the web, did you know? From you it will shoot forth, spiraling across the face of the world.
What?
Wolfdreamer turned slowly, looking over his shoulder to the south. From out of the forest, Wolf loped to stand at the edge of the gathering, 1 foot raised, nose up, scenting the air. A tremor shook him.
Is it time?
You've shown them the way, man of the people. Come.
Wolfdreamer swallowed hard and closed his eyes, nodding. Then he turned back to Icefire.
Let no one interfere.
But you can't!
Icefire's arm restrained her as she started forward.
No one will interfere.
I call you witch, brother! I'll kill you before you destroy the people!
Let me go! He's not strong enough, Ravenhunter has...
No!
Ravenhunter circled the fire cautiously, his good hand gripped into a tight fist. A surge of young warriors followed him, ready for the battle to break out. One Who Cries ran forward.
Stop them!
No!
Icefire caught him by the shoulder, whirling him around.
They're your sons! You can't let them...
It's the dream! Don't meddle in what you don't understand!
Wolfdreamer stood serenely, feeling the gaze of Wolf on him as Ravenhunter charged.
I'll kill you, brother!
Wolfdreamer listened to the words, his soul still reeling from Wolf's presence. For a brief moment, he'd almost forgotten the dance.
Don't do this, brother.
He opened his arms as Ravenhunter stopped in front of him, glaring.
Come. Come with me. Our time with the people is over. Come, follow me to the south. Let me cleanse you. Let me teach you to dream.
Ravenhunter took a step to the side, moving easily.
Even wounded, brother, I'm still more than a match for you. You think your dream is stronger than I? Stronger than the power of the White Hide? Look at you, lost in your head. You'd lead the people. You? What do you know of this world, Wolf Dreamer?
Wolf's eyes glowed from the trees.
He's right. Your time here is done.
But I have to save the people from him.
Wolfdreamer turned uncertainly, meeting Wolf's yellow eyes.
Don't I?
You've already saved them.
Look at him! Talking to the air! He's mad! I told you all long ago, and you still followed him.
Wolfdreamer looked back, seeing the deadly resolve in Ravenhunter's soul as it blackened.
You've chosen.
And at that, he stepped around his brother and into the fire. Dancing with the flames as they licked at his flesh. The souls of the people flickered with fear as he bent and plucked the coals from the pit. Ravenhunter watched nervously, the first signs of uncertainty reflected in the shadows of his soul. Carefully, Wolfdreamer drew the effigy of Wolf on his face with a searing coal, the same effigy he'd drawn that long ago day outside of Mammoth Camp. Then he reached for Ravenhunter. Frightened for the first time, Ravenhunter stepped back, holding his broken arm protectively.
Come, brother. Step into the light. Embrace me. Let my soul mingle with yours. Opposites crossed. Resolution.
No!
Ravenhunter charged. He caught Wolfdreamer with his one good arm, dragging him out of the fire and smashing him to the frozen earth. For a second, he danced with the pain, shifting its illusion away as he gulped for breath.
You're a witch! I'll kill you! Bury you so your soul...
Ravenhunter's fingers wrapped themselves around Wolfdreamer's windpipe. Wolfdreamer's lungs began to clamor. In the dance, he watched them begin to turn blue.
It doesn't matter. Nothing.
Stop it! Stop it!
Wolfdreamer lay still, conscious of his body's struggle for life, feeling his brother's fingers go tighter, feeling the wolf nearby.
Come. Come.
His soul shivered, longing to follow. Ravenhunter's scream rippled like a physical thing as it tore through the people, changing the colors of their souls. He leapt up, releasing Wolfdreamer and standing menacingly over him.
Get up! Get up and fight!
Wolfdreamer lay weakly for a moment before stumbling to his feet. A blinding flash caught him as Raven Hunter kicked him in the belly. Wolfdreamer sat down hard, a warm rush spreading below his heart. For a moment, he retreated into the nothingness beyond the dance. With a curious detachment, he looked back at his suffering body. Raven Hunter had kicked him again, flopping his empty flesh sideways to heave and retch on the trampled snow. Raven Hunter's eyes gleamed, the black green of his soul sparkling as he bent down and settled his knee on Wolfdreamer's throat. His body twitched, and Raven Hunter looked up at Dancing Fox. From the side, a bent shape scuttled out of the darkness. A sparkling lance of orange-white pain shot up from one of the old woman's arms. Despite the agony it caused her, she crabbed forward, keeping to the shadows behind Raven Hunter. Wolfdreamer shifted to look back at Wolf. He stood so close now, Wolfdreamer could feel his warm breath on his face.
Do I have to go back? Is there a reason to leave the peace, the silence of the One? I don't want to go back. Not even for the brief moment it will take to bring this to a close.
Wolf only stared, yellow eyes glimmering with the firelight. Wolfdreamer danced back into his body as Broken Branch reached from the shadows. Despite the blinding pain from his crushed throat, despite his burning lungs, he felt the cool, polished wood as the old woman thrust it in his grasping hand. The lingering essence of One Who Cries seeped from the worked wood of the foreshaft, caressing his fevered skin. Resolution. He lanced the stone-tipped dart up, following the vibrance of Raven Hunter's hard soul to the center of his brother's dance. Raven Hunter whirled slowly in the light of the fire, mouth open, moving soundlessly as he stared around at the people. From the wound, blood coursed down his side and leg, dripping onto the snow in bright scarlet spots. He blundered into the fire pit. Raven Hunter bolted into the night. In the aftermath, the people watched, their souls wavering, a panoply of light. The world spinning, Wolfdreamer turned to his father.
Once you looked into the night sky and saw the spider among the stars. And now his web has begun to spiral. A son. For a son.
Come.
Wolfdreamer felt a familiar velvet nose nudge his hand. He looked down and held the beast's eyes for a moment. Then Wolf turned and trotted to the edge of the trees, waiting. He followed on rubbery legs, staggering toward the darkness. One Who Cries stepped forward, an arm outstretched.
Wait! Where are you going?
Wolfdreamer reached out a trembling hand, touching One Who Cries, feeling his warm soul.
Where you can't come, old friend. To a place where Wolf calls me.
Wolf!
One Who Cries stood, a lost look on his face as he shook his head. But he stayed, watching as Wolfdreamer faded into the dark trees. From the shadows behind him, Broken Branch's tears glittered in the firelight.
Wolf Dream.
The camp had been placed on the edge of the timber. There, a shoulder of the hills provided protection from the north winds, while from the heights, the people could see for a day's march or more over the sprawling grasslands to the south. A large herd of buffalo splotched the rolling lands to the east, while several mammoth grouped together under the watchful eye of an old cow in the lush drainage below. Another of the marvelous new animals, the pronghorn, ghosted fleetly across the grasslands, following in the wake of the buffalo. One Who Cries shifted and shot a look over his shoulder at the sienna-colored lodge.
You think it wouldn't take so long?
Singing Wolf lifted a shoulder.
It always takes so long.
Practiced fingers used the chert flake to whittle away at the dark foreshaft he crafted so carefully.
Can't figure. You make the best foreshafts. They have to be fit just right. Can't understand how come I can't make them like that.
Same reason I can't make a point like yours.
Binding's still too thick.
One Who Cries frowned pensively at the point he pulled from his pouch.
Moonwater still mad at jumping here?
Does the sun come up in the east?
What are they doing together? You'd think he'd kick her out. That woman's nothing but trouble.
She could be trouble in my robes anytime. You saw what happened. What's she gonna do, go back to Red Flint's lodge? After Jumping Hare came in and offered a stack of robes as tall as a man for her? Not only that, but Red Flint's got 3 of our darts from him. No, she's not leaving. Besides, those twin kids of hers are still his.
And to think we used to war with White Tusk Clan.
One Who Cries looked absently out to the south.
You think Wolf Dreamer knew it would be like this?
Yes.
Icefire came to squat next to them.
I think he saw it all. And more.
You look nervous, Icefire. Don't be. I've been through it 5 times now. It's always the same.
Icefire smiled too quickly as he rubbed his palms back and forth.
5 times? For me, this is a first.
Greenwater will take good care of her. Not only that, Broken Branch is in there. No bad spirit will fool with Broken Branch. Whitehide goes to Tiger Belly Clan again?
You've seen any enemy here we could earn it from? No, I think Tiger Belly will have the Whitehide for a long time now.
Water's still rising. After a while, they'll have to find honor somewhere else.
They'll think of something.
One Who Cries turned the point in his hand and shook his head.
Too much binding.
Icefire cocked his head, trying to take his thoughts off the activities in the lodge behind him.
How about driving 2 flakes off from the base forward? You know, like grooves.
One Who Cries studied the base of the point. He pulled his sandstone from his pouch, and between grinding and some initial flaking, prepared 2 special platforms.
Here goes.
Like lightning, he tapped the baton across the platform. Icefire beamed as One Who Cries turned the colorful stone over. He eyed the point again and grinned.
Hey, now cut that out. Every time I sit down, you're...
Oh, hush. Cut it out, right? Cut it out. That's all I ever hear from you. Every time I start doing a little flint napping, you're howling about the flakes being all over. When was the last time you got stuck with one of mine?
How about the point?
Oh, yeah.
He lifted it. The length of a man's hand, its parallel sides ended in a keen point. The base was concave below the new flake scar. One Who Cries turned it over.
It worked. Look!
He grabbed the foreshaft from Singing Wolf's hand, fitting the fluted point into the binding.
That's it!
Icefire and Singing Wolf leaned close, their eyes gleaming with admiration.
You know, that's almost too pretty to throw into an animal.
One Who Cries glowed. Icefire stiffened. Even Singing Wolf, old veteran that he was, cocked his head, eyes tense. Moments later, Broken Branch hobbled out of the tent, beaming a toothless smile through her wrinkles.
A boy! As if the dreamer hadn't known!
A curious feeling swelled in Icefire's chest.
A son for a son. Yes.
For a moment, he twisted his hands nervously in his lap, thinking about Wolf Dreamer. They'd searched for him that night after the fight, but had found no traces. Not even tracks marred the snow. But the wolves had howled triumphantly for days.
And my wife? How's Dancing Fox?
Oh, fine. Just fine.
Broken Branch hobbled in front of Icefire, heading to the fire glowing a few feet away. She held the baby up to Father Sun, then passed him through the cleansing smoke of the fire 4 times.
Listen, boy. I'm going to tell you the greatest story of the people. You have to remember it so you can tell your sons and daughters and their sons and daughters. You're the center of the web, little one. Your brother, Wolf Dreamer, said so, and he was the greatest dreamer that people ever had. He knew. He knew. See? Do you?
Broken Branch lifted a withered arm and pointed out across the lush valley bursting with game.
Look there. Built a big mountain of dirt. Raised on sweat and hurt. Rose so high over the river. Eating plants. Bah! No spirit in that. Not like blood-filled liver. Father of waters. Flows so rich.
Icefire looked into the bundle in Broken Branch's arms, and a strange feeling came over him. His chest tingled with hollowness. He shook himself, but the feeling wouldn't let him go. Crossing his arms, he hugged himself tightly. His eyes were drawn to the valley in the distance. Thick green grasses waved beneath the gentle caress of Wind Woman. Mammoth lifted his shaggy head, startled suddenly, as though he too saw the silvered shadow that bounded through the grass, bushy tail catching the glittering gold of dawn as it ran to touch noses with muskox and caribou, mouse and buffalo.
This is the land of the people. I show you the way, man. I show you the way.
North America's Forgotten Past, People of the Wolf, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 1990 by W. Michael Gear and Kathleen O'Neill Gear. All rights reserved. Published by arrangement with W. Michael Gear and Kathleen O'Neill Gear. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2011, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Nanette Savard as the narrator, Joseph Thornhill as Wolf Dreamer, Karen Novak as Dancing Fox, Thomas Keegan as Raven Hunter, Christopher Sheeran as Icefire, David Coyne as One Who Cries, Michael Glenn as Singing Wolf, Lily Beacon as Heron, Kimberly Gilbert as Broken Branch, Barbara Pinellini as Talon, and Yasmin Toison as Green Water, with Thomas Penny, Christopher Graybill, Terrence Aselford, Richard Rowan, Stephen Carpenter, Eric Messner, James Lewis, Margie Tompros, Ren Casey, Ken Jackson, Elizabeth Jernigan, James Konacek, Colleen Delaney, Sherry Simpson, and Joe Brack. Directed by Nanette Savard. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Brian Rogers. Book adapted for graphic audio by Cheryl Phelps. If you enjoyed People of the Wolf, be sure to look for The Serrano Legacy, Vada's War, and Rogue Angel, available at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
You men are aware you're trespassing on private property, aren't you?
What is your name, boy?
My name's Cal. What's yours?
Lazarus. Lazarus Cain. Have you been saved, Cal?
Saved from what?
Why, from hell and damnation, of course.
What's all this got to do with the fact you men are stealing my boss's cattle?
Now hold on, boys. I can handle this young pup alone. The Lord giveth, and he taketh away, my good boy.
When Smoke Jensen's friend and ranch hand is brutally shot while protecting his ranch, there isn't a demon in hell that could still Smoke Jensen's vengeful, bloody hands.
Did you find any papers on the man Cal described?
About the nearest one I saw was a man named Lazarus Kane. He and his gang did some raiding down in Arkansas recently, but there was no mention of his heading this way.
Well, if this Kane has decided to pay us a visit and did this to Cal, he's gonna wish he never left Arkansas.
Don't miss Smoke Jensen's bloody quest for revenge in Smoke Jensen, the Mountain Man number 24, Guns of the Mountain Man.
You're no match for me, Jensen! Kill you before you can clear leather!
You reach for them guns, and one of us is gonna die.
Available now in Graphic Audio.
If you can't find that Graphic Audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different Graphic Audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.